Amen. Now, we're back to our word as we have been going through this series, which is entitled Arise and Shine. And I think this is our word for the rest of the year. Perhaps the title may never be Arise and Shine, but that's what God is doing. Amen. He is raising us up. He is allowing us to shine. He wants us to shine. So He just wants us to cooperate with Him. And that's what He's calling us to. So we thank Him that in the beginning of the year then, He is saying to us, this is what I want you to do. And He's drilling this thing in our minds. He's getting us to understand that He wants us to arise. He wants us to shine. So now, like we've just spoken now then, don't look at one area of your life and say, nothing is happening here. Give God an opportunity to show you what He's doing in your life. And have faith that that area as well, it will come to where it should be. Because God is faithful, He will deliver at His promises. That is what He said He will do all the time. Amen. Today we are on part 11 of this series, and we're still basing this message on Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 to 5, where God says it's time that we arise and we shine, for His light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon us, and we are dealing with the how part. And as we deal with the how part today, the subtitle of our message is God can accomplish much with little. God can accomplish much with little. We're going to read from Judges chapter 7, verses 1 up to 8, but let's start with the first two verses. Verse 1 says, so Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. This is powerful. God is saying, you have too many warriors. You know, we always want to get all the help we need, all the support we need for us to do what God wants us to do. But God comes here, He says, if you manage to win this battle because of what you can do yourselves, because of your strength, you will start praising yourself. So God wants it to be seen that He is the one that is doing this work. Praise the Lord. So the first lesson that we get from here is that God wants us to put our trust in Him. He doesn't want us to put our trust in our strength. So you can think of any area of your life now and think about it, that God wants you to put your trust in His strength. He does not want you to put your trust in your own strength. Now, the Bible says that is what is called living by faith. In other words, not having trust in what we have, but believing God to be the one that provides what we need. That is living by faith. He doesn't want us to ever think that what we do is what brings us success. So we should simply do what He tells us to do and not lean on our strength. And we see another example of this in what happened to Moses and Aaron. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 7 to 12. Reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock.' So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord." This shows you that it's not talking about the rod of Moses. It's the staff of Aaron. "Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. 'Listen, you rebels.'" This is frustration speaking now. This is not God speaking. This man of God is frustrated at these people, and he calls them what they are. He is allowing his emotions to take over. He says, "Listen, you rebels." That is not what God told him to do. God did not call these people rebels. He shouted, "Must we bring you..." Oh, look at this now. "Must we..." All of a sudden it's about we. "Must we bring you water from this rock?" He has received the revelation from the Lord of how God was going to provide. He was going to provide through the rock. The water would come from the rock. He received that revelation. But then he said, "God, I'll take over. I am now going to pretend. I'm going to be the one now that is going to do this thing." He says, "Must we bring you water from this rock?" Where is God? God is gone. Then Moses raised his hand and he struck the rock, how many times? Twice. With the staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them. Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them." What lessons can we get out of this? God told Moses to speak to the rock, but Moses used an old method that had previously worked for him. When you go to the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 6, you see the Lord coming to him and saying, "Go to the rock, hit the rock with the rod, and I will provide water." So Moses has seen this. He has experienced God answering this need by hitting the rock. And what is he doing here now? He still wants to do exactly the same thing. Because Moses didn't listen to God, he ended up doubling his effort before he could get the desired results. He had to hit the rock twice. Remember, in Exodus chapter 17, he hit the rock once. The water came out. This time around, God did not tell him to hit the rock. So the Bible says he had to hit the rock twice. He hit it twice. And only then the results came through. This is what happens with us when we decide to depend on what we know rather than getting strategy from God. We end up working harder than we did before to get the same results. So we need to always listen for strategy from God. God wants us to live by faith, not by our experiences. When we act out our faith, people see him and they praise him for his wonderful works, not our experiences. So all the time, let us be in tune with him to hear what does he want us to do now, and we do that which he tells us to do. It is important to know that God still gave water to his people, even though Moses did not follow his instruction. The leader did not follow the instruction. God still provided water to his people. He did that because he cared about his people above his desire to be honored by his servant. God cares about the needs of his people, so he will do whatever it takes to meet the need of his people. He is not the God that sits in heaven and says, if you do not do it the way that I say you do it, you will die. Because these people did not know. Moses and Aaron are the only people that knew what God said. So God was not going to hold the whole nation accountable for their mistake. Now, even today, God will do whatever it takes to meet his people's needs, but he will keep accountable the messenger that fails to represent him well. Why? Because he or she knows better. Gideon is a good example for us as he followed God's instruction to reduce the number of warriors. When we read Judges chapter 7, verses 3 to 8, let's go there. Verse 3. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. This is interesting. The bigger portion left, only a few remained. Verse 4. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. Look at this again, still two-thirds. About two-thirds of the people had to go. First group, two-thirds. Second group, two-thirds. God is going to work with just one-third to accomplish that which he wants to accomplish. God can do much with little. He is not limited. Praise the Lord. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and rams, horns of the other warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. The lessons that we get out of this. One, God doesn't need the majority to win a battle. That is what we see in this story. He just wants people with the heart to fight. People with courage. Are you going to fight? Are you willing to fight? Do you have the courage to stand for what God wants to give to you? This is what God is doing here. God doesn't need the strong to win a battle. Through David, he killed Goliath the giant. So don't look at your strength. And he doesn't need the wise to win a battle. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. The Bible says, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy, when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerless. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. That's what God doesn't want. He wants no one, none of us, to be able to boast. But he doesn't say then, let us put ourselves down. He says, trust me for big things, things that you could not do in your own strength. And then as you receive those big things, then you will not boast. Don't put yourself down. No, that is not what the word says. Trust me for big things, things that are bigger than you. Verse 30, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Look at that. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. So Christ was made wisdom for us. Christ made us right with God. So he was made our righteousness. That's what the King James Version says. Christ was made wisdom for us. He was made what? Our righteousness. And also continues here, it says, he made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. So Christ became our redemption. We do not boast of wisdom, of having wisdom. We do not boast of being righteous before God. We do not boast of being holy before God. Don't think God is doing stuff for you because you are wise, because you are righteous, because you are holy before God. Know that Christ has become those things for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Verse 31. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. This is important for us as believers. God doesn't need you to have faith in your works either. And that is what we've just read now. He wants you to have faith in his grace. Think about the centurion that went to Jesus and he said, Master, my servant is lying sick at home. If you can just speak the word, that servant of mine will be healed. And Jesus said to him, I have never seen such great faith. This centurion was not an Israelite. He was a Roman soldier. He was not keeping the laws. He was not keeping the standards that were set for Israel. It's a man that went to receive from God through his pure grace. He did not deserve to receive from God. And the Bible says, Jesus said to him, I have never seen such great faith, even in Israel. Think about the woman, the Canaan woman, that came and said, my child is sick. Come and pray for him. And the Bible says, Jesus ignored her. He said, what? I cannot take the bread that is meant for the children and feed it to dogs. But you must remember now, those days, that is what they called the Samaritans. That was just what it was. We need to understand as well the times when the word was written for us to understand what did it mean. Of course, it was not a good word to be used. And the Bible says, this woman said, even dogs eat crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus answered and said, woman, you have great faith. This woman as well did not follow what? The rules, the laws, the regulations that were set by God for the nation of Israel. This woman, again, as well, what we see here is she went for God's pure grace. receiving from God, not because of what she did, but receiving from God because of what Christ is providing for her. So God, in other words, I'm saying here, God is not looking at you and expecting you to have faith in your works. God doesn't even need you to have great supplies. You will remember that Jesus fed thousands with few loaves and fish. The word today is God can do much with little if it is given to his hands.
Amen.
The conclusion. What do you have that God can use? Is it time? Do you have time to spend with him? To spend praying, allowing him to move spiritually? Do you have resources that you can use to allow him to touch other people through? Do you have abilities that God has put inside you? So, are we using our talents, or do we want to wait until somebody says to us, we are in the ministry? What do you have that God can use? Are you willing to do what he tells you to do with what you have? Because if you are willing to do what he tells you to do, you will see his great power. He will show himself strong. Know that he will cause you to marvel at his work if you do whatever he tells you to do. And it is important that you remember the fact that God will not test you. When he calls you to do stuff that are greater than you, it's not that he's trying to test you. He wants to show his strength. He wants to show his power. And therefore, because of that, he will ask you to do something beyond your abilities. And as you say yes to that, he gets an opportunity to do what he can do. It's not about you. It's about him. And that's the message that I had today. God can do much with little. He took 300 men, only 300 men, to go and face nations, a great army. And that is what God wants to do with us. So let us be aware of who we are. Let us be aware of what we have. And let us allow God to do what he wants to do through that. Praise the Lord.